Church at its worst is a religious club. I spoke earlier when referring to our work in Malawi as being vital to us and incumbent upon us. When church becomes locked up in its own concerns and stuck within its own walls, then it has ceased to be church in any meaningful sense. Perhaps sometimes churches become a little like this. Perhaps for those further back who struggle to see the premises as follows, there's a Mary and Joseph and a young Jesus. It appears that he has had a nightmare. And the nightmare is that he has been stuck in a building called church for thousands of years, and that the occupants won't let him out. Churches have been guilty of doing that with Jesus, keeping him and themselves very much to themselves. And then again, there are those who would want it that way. The secular humanist elite that seems to so effectively have grabbed hold of the agenda across much of the West today says to Christians, stay in your churches and keep your Jesus there, thank you very much. And displaying wonderful tolerance, of course, they say, we don't mind what you believe, but keep it to yourself. They're encouraging us, in other words, to engage in private religion. Let me declare loudly and clearly, there is no such thing. Try telling Desmond Tutu that his religion was private, that he should keep to himself his beliefs, and that his beliefs have nothing to say to his nation. Try telling the Baptist preacher Martin Luther King that his religion was a private affair. For me, there is huge interest in these days when we consider the relationship between the church and the state. There are models differing, of course, around the world. The United States speaks very much of the separation, the absolute separation of church and state. And then we go down south to England and we find a very different model, when the church is very much part of the state. Go to somewhere like China and you have two churches. You have the state church and then you have the real church. The one that is allowed and sanctioned and pretty well told what it can say, and then the real church, those who are following Jesus. That's the one, incidentally, that is growing so dramatically that China very soon will be the biggest Christian country in the world. And then there is Scotland. And it seems to me that we are in a very much a transitional period in terms of how church and state relate one to another. Very changed since the days of Knox, and probably for the good. But where are we going? What will be that relationship? How will the church relate to its community and to the authorities around it? For me, we have scriptural authority as we go about answering that question. Not least in the New Testament, Mr. Stiff read for us from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Paul says that the authorities are established by God, and that whoever rebels against them is rebelling against what God himself has done. It seems to me to be an injunction that order is better than chaos, and that to have those in authority rather than anarchy makes sense and is good and proper. Similarly, that we'd be subject to the state in all kinds of ways. If you owe taxes, then pay taxes. But it's good to remember the context of these words, and that at that particular time, though of course it was not always so, but at that particular time, Paul reasoned that the state was benign and that the Christians would do well to get along with those in authority. But what do you do when it is not so? When the state itself has become something far different to what might be described as being established by God. And then for Christians, there is a huge dilemma, expressed brilliantly, I think, in the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German evangelical pastor in the 1930s and saw the rise of Nazism as being an affront to God, and yet was reading in his Bible to be subject to the authorities. But there comes a time when that can no longer be possible. And Bonhoeffer committed his life, and in the end spent his life, in working for the downfall of the Nazi regime. There are times when the church must speak up. And this is what I mean by saying that we cannot and will not be told to stay in our churches and keep ourselves to ourselves and to practice our private religion and don't bother anybody. Bonhoeffer wouldn't have been told that, and neither should we even now. But there is more to it than simply the formal relationship between church and state. For the church now, it's very much about how we see ourselves in relation to the community around us. I say again that there are too many churches, and there has been too much of church history that has involved Christian people being inside the walls and being nothing more than a religious club. I used that phrase earlier. But this will not do. And certainly we here at St. Andrew's see ourselves as being very much part of the community, and that we are obliged to be so, and to work and to pray for the good of society and the community around us. Hear from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah an instruction to God's people, who in a sense were aliens in a strange land, and yet the word of the Lord to them was, seek the peace and prosperity of that place in which you live. Pray for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And it's because of injunctions like this one that we will not stay in our churches, out of the way. For the good, we will be out there in society. It's why we are involved in the schools in the town. It's why we are involved in the Women's Aid Refuge Programme. It's why we run with our neighbours at Olden Abbey an emergency food parcel project. And I could go on and on, speaking of the ways in which the church is out there taking seriously this, seeking the peace and prosperity of this community. Some of you will perhaps be aware of one particular of our projects called the Havilah Project, which is sited just a couple of hundred yards up the street. Very recently we welcomed the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, Right Reverend Lorna Hood, who visited us and brought us great encouragement. And through our Havilah project, we work predominantly with those who are struggling with drug addiction issues. We have staff and a wonderfully committed team of volunteers engaging in very difficult work, but addressing real needs in our community. And this is the work of the church, much more than singing hymns, addressing the real needs of our community and our world. But when I put the various things that I've been saying beforehand together, then it brings me to this. The church will not be silent when we see within our community that which is damaging and dangerous and which we believe we would be much better without. We won't stay in our churches. We will be on the streets of our community, seeking its peace and prosperity, and asking those who have authority in such matters, why is it that if tomorrow one or other of us wanted to set up in business selling alcohol or tobacco, that there would be a strict regulatory framework involved in that? But if any one of us wanted tomorrow to set up in business selling so-called legal highs, then it appears that we are free to do so and that there's nothing can be done about it. We as a church look to work with all like-minded folks and with those who have influence to bear, because we believe in this community and we want to work for the good of this community and for our children and their children in time to come. We want and believe in a better growth, and Angus that has said no when no has to be said. And this is how the church will relate to the community and to the state, working with for the prosperity and the peace and the betterment of our communities. Let me finish with this, also our promise to the council and to its officials and to all of its agencies, that we take very seriously what we are encouraged to hear, and that we pray faithfully and regularly for you. I guess of all the ways in which church relates to state, of all the ways in which we are encouraged to be in the world, this is top of our list. We pray for those of you who have authority. We pray for those of you who have responsibilities. We pray with those of you who have decision-making burdens laid upon you. We pray for you that you might know God's leading and his guidance and his wisdom as you seek to make Angus the place we all want it and would love it to be. Shall we bow our heads?